The following program is brought to you by Total Theater Online. The views expressed do not necessarily represent those of the staff or management of WGBB. You're listening to the station that serves your community, 1240 WGBB. And now it's time for Dave's Gone By with David Lefkowitz.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Dave's Gone By, 90 minutes of talk radio, music, comedy, and audio joy, brought to you by Total Theater and Performing Arts Insider Magazine. Actually, I have to admit, I'm a little ruffled today, a little nonplussed. Nothing terrible, but the other day I was listening to the radio, and I heard the announcer start some show, or maybe it was the host, and he opened the show by saying, "Good evening, everybody! Welcome to the show!" And he did it with gusto. It wasn't like some BBC announcer saying, "Good evening, everybody, welcome to Marxist Forum on BBC Two." No, it was more like, "Good evening, everybody, welcome!" Now, you can understand how this bothers me. Far be it from me to accuse anybody of stealing, to point a finger at the program's host or producer and say, "That's my good evening, everybody!" How dare you co-opt it for your own nefarious purposes? Granted, I realize "good evening, everybody" is a pretty generic greeting. It's a rather standard, "Hi, hello, hey, everybody, what's shaking? Thanks for tuning in," which makes me wonder about its true effectiveness. I know that engineer Joe Salzone, he's trademarked his classic, "It's good to have you with us." Excellent line, by the way. All credit to Joe with coming up with that one. "Good to have you with us," but that's his. I can't steal that. I wouldn't want to anyway. It wouldn't feel fresh. It wouldn't feel authentic and genuine coming out of me. I could say, "It's great to have you with us," or "It's wonderful to have you with us." But that's kind of like copying a Rolex watch and calling it a Molex. You can get $20 on the street for it, but if you took it to a jeweler, he'd say, "What the hell is wrong with you? It's a Molex!" But I don't sell Molexes here. I'm 100% pure, genuine article, and as such, I need my own greeting, my own catchphrase. It's obvious now that "good evening, everybody, welcome to Dave's Gone By" doesn't quite do it. Too many people are swindling my catchphrase, unknowingly, unconsciously, or perhaps, and I would not admit this in a court of law, but maybe someone else, somewhere out there, someone was using "good evening, everybody" before me, which makes me the clone, and I'm not here to ape or imitate or copy anyone else, unless there's money involved. So, no, I need my own greeting, my own intro, my own big opening. Now, I've seen Joe's big opening, and I have to say, I'm amazed the cucumber still fits, but no, seriously, I may need your help on this. I need a new greeting, a novel shalom into this navel-gazing show, in order for Dave's Gone By to be taken seriously in terms of syndication and reaching a wider market, I need to stand out from the crowd. I need a catchy catchphrase that launches me into the next 90 minutes and sweeps up thousands of hungry ears right along with me. So therefore, I am embarking upon a quest for a new opening phrase, and I'm asking for your help. Put your thinking caps on and twirl your creativity dials and see if you can come up with the right start of the show greeting for this program. Something clever or cute or exciting or maybe just bizarre. If you know the show, you know that Dave's Gone By is funny and serious, verbal and musical, zany and thoughtful, and totally unique. So please, give it a little thought and then email me, davesgoneby@aol.com. That's davesgoneby, D-A-V as in Victor, E-S, no apostrophe, @aol.com. Or you can also snail mail them to me, davesgoneby, Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. You have time. I'm probably not going to make a final decision till spring unless, you know, something hits me as so obvious and perfect that I end the contest right then and there. But I'll give it at least a week or two. So send your best catchphrase to davesgoneby@aol.com or snail it to Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. The winner will get a cassette or CD of this program. That's right, a CD. More on that later. But if I choose your greeting as the winner, I'll mention your name on the air, maybe goof on you a little bit, and then send you a cassette or compact disc of the whole program so one day you can show your grandchildren you were mentioned on this cool radio show. And your grandchildren will stare up at you with wide eyes and say, "What's a radio?" And then you'll smack them and they'll start crying, and then you'll feel guilty and they'll cry some more. You'll give them the CD to play with, like a Frisbee, because CDs were phased out 20 years earlier, and now all the kids have microchips embedded in their necks that allow them to pick up 8,000 digital radio stations just by rolling their eyes. Still, it's the thought that counts. And if you give some thought to how I can begin this program, I'll be thoughtful in return and pop you a copy of the show. Now, granted, I don't guarantee I'm going to use one of your suggestions. I might think of one myself or get advice from friends and family, so I will be testing out a bunch of options over the next month or two. Like, here's a couple. "Whoa, Nelly, here comes Dave." No, I don't think so. "Happy Daves are here again. Welcome to Dave's Gone By." No, too limiting. I mean, what if I'm in a bad mood? Why should I be saddled with something so peppy, you know? "Howdy diddly doodly, everybody." Oh, no, that's way too Ned Flanders. "Lock up your women, hide your sheep, Dave's in the house." Now that has possibilities. I could also go with Howard Dean's "Yeah!" But that joke wore thin a week ago, and it'll be at least another 3 weeks before it becomes retro-hip again. How about "Hose me down"? Ooh, I like that one. "Hose me down, it's time for Dave's Gone By." Now, I've heard that phrase somewhere before, but in a totally different context. Let me do a Google search to make sure it's not something Jack Parr used to say or something like that. Let's see. The first listing that comes up on Google is from a song by AC/DC, a song called "Heat Seeker." "I don't need no life preserver. I don't need no one to hose me down, to hose me down." Okay, that's promising. The next listing comes from someone named Tim, who says, apropos of nothing, "Hose me down before I explode with petrol-like desire." And someone wrote back to him saying, "And we can see you all covered in petroleum jelly doing something pneumatic." Okay. Next listing on this is another song, something called "Not Allowed / You Want Me." And the second verse reads, "You say you want me in a menage a trois." Oh, I like this one already. "You say you want me in a menage a trois. You say you want to hose me down as I wash your car." Whoa, they really stretched the pages of the rhyming dictionary for that one. Menage a trois and wash your car. "You say you want a girl who could get nasty and mean. You say you want her to rub you down with Vaseline." Okay, let me just bookmark that website. This hose me down thing is working. I may have found my phrase already. Uh-oh. It was also part of a Meatloaf song. Potential cheese alert. I mean, AC/DC was one thing, but Jim Steinman is another. Oh, and it's from "I Would Do Anything for Love." Quote, "Will you cater to every fantasy I got? Will you hose me down with holy water if I get too hot?" Well, that's kind of cool, actually. Amazing how many of these hose-me-down things have to do with sex. Oh, not this one. The next listing is from BigWhiteGuy.com. Some, assumedly, big white guy talking about living in Hong Kong, China. And he's on this rant about being online at a bank with some creepy guy with, like, pneumonia standing behind him. And the white guy says, quote, "Although I had other errands to run, I desperately wanted to run home and take a hot shower or maybe get hosed down with disinfectant," which in some ways is just as appropriate for this program. But hey, it's back to sex for the next Google listing, a column by Whitney Matheson in USA Today called "Pop Candy." She asks, "Which stars are on your freebie list?" Meaning, I assume, which stars would readers, male and female, want to do nasty things with French ticklers to on a desert island? Now, Adrienne Pender of Clayton, North Carolina, wrote in to list Trent Reznor, Steve Martin, Robert De Niro, and topping her list, actor Gabriel Byrne, whom she calls, quote, "yummy," rugged, masculine. Those eyes and that accent hose me down. Oh, my gosh, and somebody did a parody of the Beatles' When I'm 64 called When I'm 94, which is really spooky because years ago, one of the first parody songs I ever wrote was When I'm 93. You know, it was When I Am Old and Missing My Teeth. Yeah. Now here's another guy taking the same idea. Must everybody copy my genius? Gah! Anyway, his version has the line, "Every morning you can hose me down, or in the tub at night if it's not too dear," which doesn't really scan or make sense, but some of the other lines are pretty funny. I like, "Hand lotion on your knee, quick I have to pee." That's pretty good. Here's another parody song. Now, I've heard this one. Rudolph the Red-Hosed Reindeer. "Rudolph with your hose so right, won't you hose me down tonight?" Yeah, that works. Now, my wife doesn't care for Hose Me Down, though. She says it's stupid. She says it sounds like, you know, I'm all hot, but the show's just getting started, so I haven't had time to heat up yet. That's a little too logical for me, but I see her point. But when I asked her to come up with something better, she was like, "Bam!" You know, open the show with, "Bam!" And I said, "You mean like Emeril?" And she said, "Yeah." And I said, "That kind of defeats the purpose of coming up with something new and different, don't you think?" She also suggested, "Dave here." Very low-key. I've used that one on one of my commercials, in fact. "Dave here." It's all right, a little bland. Still, I've got an hour and a half of time to fill, so I want to wake people up a bit. She also came up with, "Have you got your potato?" Now, I like that one. It's got a nice absurdity to it. She also thought of, "Get your Dave Cadoodle out and spin your tweeters toward the dial," which is too bizarre even for me. But you see, this is not as easy as it sounds, and I am kind of picky, so give it your best shot. Let's see what you can do as far as coming up with a new salutation for this show. The winner gets a CD or cassette. The losers won't get anything, but you may hear your choices on the air in the weeks ahead. It's all good. And, hey, you know, that's not bad. It's all good. Welcome to Dave's Gone By. Kind of ambiguous, but positive, very mellow. Maybe too mellow. It's a phrase that should open a Best of the Grateful Dead hour or something. Anyway, the challenge is out there. May the best phrase win. And speaking of winning and losing, we also have another contest. This one is instant, so get your dialing fingers ready. I have two pairs of tickets to give away. Two free pairs of tickets to a very cool show at Town Hall on 43rd Street in Manhattan. I gave away two pair last week. The press people for the show have been kind enough to make four more tickets available. Now, the event is February 6th, Friday night, February 6th. So please don't call in unless you're free that night and can go. It's called A Tribute to Tap Legends, featuring the next generation in tap dancers. Believe it or not, there are more young tappers out there than just Savion Glover. And you can see more than a dozen of them Friday night, February 6th, at Town Hall. On the bill are the Young Hoofers, who will dance in the style of past masters like Bill Bojangles Robinson, Gregory Hines, and Fred Astaire. There'll also be film clips of Gene Kelly, Jimmy Slide, and other legends, and no pre-recorded music. The dancing is accompanied by live jazz from the Sidney Bechet Society Band, and that features trumpet player Byron Stripling. The show also features special guest Carrie Smith. She was in the Broadway show Black and Blue, and the MC is Harold Stumpy Cromer. I think it's worth going just for that. Harold Stumpy Cromer. Now, they're all part of A Tribute to Tap this Friday, 8 o'clock, February 6th. Now, by all means, you can buy tickets by calling Town Hall at 212-840-2824. I think they're like $30 or $35 a piece. That's area code 212-840-2824. Or you can just go to Town Hall, 123 West 43rd Street between 6th Avenue and Broadway. But again, for two lucky listeners, the tickets are free. All you gotta do is call us at the station. First two callers get the tickets. Engineer Joe will take your name and contact info. Here is the phone number, 631-888-8811. Area code 631-888-8811. 888-8811. Engineer Joe will take your name and contact information and tell you if you've won and how to get the winning tickets for A Tribute to Tap. 631-888-8811. Call now. No relatives or employees of the radio station, please. 631-888-8811. Good luck. And even if you don't win, you should check out the show because it looks like a lot of fun. And stick around here because we have much more fun to come on this edition of Dave's Gone By. We go bowling, Super Bowling, that is. Went to a Super Bowl party last night, as I'm sure a lot of you out there did too, so I've got my own thoughts to share on this mega multi maxi mondo American event. Not so much about the game itself. I'm no big football expert, and this isn't a sports show. I'm just going to lay out some random speculations about the event itself. In fact, we're calling this episode Monday Evening Quarterback, as I stare 24 hours into the past with 2020 hindsight and call them as I see them. Also, on this episode, our 63rd, The News Gone By. Can't do a Dave's Gone By without it, and we cap the whole show with a batch of winter songs. So gather round the glowing wireless for tunes by Tom Waits, the Rolling Stones, Nico, Bob Dylan, Judy Collins, Husker Du, the Clancy Brothers, and more. But first, before the music, before the news, we'll begin with the sports and my Super Bowl wrap-up. No referees needed. We like to say this program is rated DGB-13, the Dave's Gone By equivalent of PG-13. No flags on the field, no unnecessary roughness, but we do like to tackle certain topics and fumble around with some others. So if you're worried about offensive play, feel free to send the kiddies off the field and running back to Disney. Hose me down! Yeah. It's me, Dave, Dave Lefkowitz, radio personality, humorist, journalist, and Monday evening quarterback on AM 1240 WGBB and live streaming on the web at am1240wgbb.com. We'll be right back with a kickoff after this. Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on this post-Super Bowl Monday. Did you see the game? Were you one of the supposedly 400 million Americans watching yesterday when the New England Patriots beat the Carolina Panthers 32-29? And I'm a football fan. I'm not a big football expert or maven, but I thought I'd give some of my thoughts on this Monday evening quarterback edition of the show. Well, first of all, I don't know. I guess we all had that same thought in the first quarter when every play either went nowhere or it went right to the penalty box. I mean, they had so many flags there, it looked like, a week after 9/11, God forbid. But anyway, it just every time something would seem to happen, it would be brought back. And then most of the time, nothing even happened on either team. I think the Panthers had minus 1 yard rushing for the first 25 minutes of the game. And I was at a Super Bowl party. My aunt and uncle have a very fun, festive, and very food-filled Super Bowl party every year with a big screen TV and, you know, surround sound and the whole deal, and it's great fun. And everybody was pretty well enervated middle of the second quarter because we were like, okay, this is going to be the worst Super Bowl ever. Nobody's doing anything of note. You know, Super Bowls never live up to the hype and blah, 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 and why isn't, you know, the quarterback, Tom Brady being incredibly wonderful, and what are the coaches doing, and, you know, what happened, what did they learn all this year, why are they making so many penalties and errors? And then suddenly, bam, 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 towards the end of the first half, people were putting scores on the board like crazy, and everybody woke up a little bit just in time to eat and have their big sandwiches and desserts and get logy, you know, for the second half when you know, people were already going home. I understand that they want primetime exposure and that the Super Bowl is really big and important and this huge commercial thing. And it's great that they don't have it like World Series games where the game starts at 8 o'clock at night. So kids watching that have school the next day, you know, they've got to be in bed by the sixth inning. At least the Super Bowl starts at 6:30, a fairly reasonable hour. But I think when they started doing that, the bowls were only 3 hours long. Now there are at least four without going into, you know, overtime. So maybe they should move it back to like 6 or 5:30 because people still, they go to all these parties and then they have to drive home right in the middle of the third quarter just to get home in time for work the next day. But anyway, the amazing thing is that, of course, it turned into an interesting game, even though the penalties continued throughout the whole time. And I missed a lot of the interstitial stuff. I mean, I knew I was going to talk about the Super Bowl on the air today, but I still didn't really want to sit through the commercials. And they took a poll, and something like 25% of the people who watch the Super Bowl are actually watching it just for the ads. I guess, and I'm not trying to be sexist, but I guess they're women who aren't into the sports, but at least the commercials are interesting to them, and that's why they'll not pay attention to the game, but if a funny commercial comes on, they'll enjoy it and they'll laugh or something. And I'm not, you know, every newspaper now, it's amazing advertising. It is worth the $2.3 million, I guess, that it cost for 30-second ads on the CBS game, because not only is it shown, but then everybody Monday morning quarterbacks the ads themselves in the newspapers. That's what they're all full of. How did this ad do? What did people think of it? Did it get the message across? And was it really funny? I wasn't, like, blown away by most of the commercials I did see. That one about the Clydesdale horses was, you know, cute. The one about the guy drinking the beer and then gets kicked in the nuts and he flings the beer to the other guy, that was all right. And the Orange County chopper fellow flying into the air, that got some big laughs. So, okay, but, you know, those commercials are going to be showing up on TV for the next month, and nobody's going to watch them, but suddenly, because it's the Super Bowl, it's like, ooh, commercial! Wow! I mean, if they could bottle that, if other shows could somehow, you know, create that urge to watch commercials the way the Super Bowl has, I mean, network TV would be in a lot better shape. And I missed Beyoncé doing the Star Spangled Banner. I had no I heard her from the background as I was filling up a sandwich. And it was the typical thing. She has a great voice. You know, I'm sure she was dressed very sexily and big and spangly and stuff. But as soon as they start filling the Star Spangled Banner with these curlicues and vocal gewgaws of like, and the rocket's ready. I don't need to hear that. Just sing the bloody song nicely. You have a fine voice. Let it go at that. Don't start souling it up. And I don't just say that for Beyoncé. I say that for all the people who are doing the banner in front of all the games. Anyway, weird moments, funny moments. You know what? I missed it. I was getting this. It sounds like I spent more time at the food tray than I did at the actual game, but I missed the halftime show. I had no desire to see Justin Timberlake. I had no desire to hear Janet Jackson. And I really don't really have any great desire to see Janet Jackson's breast. But according to all the newspapers, 400 million people did. If they didn't blink. I wasn't even in the room, but, you know, there were all these people watching. I didn't hear a big shout of, like, oh my God, or woohoo, from my family. And a bunch of guys, young guys, like teenagers, were watching in a separate room. So you would figure if they saw a nudity thing like that, they would go, oh my God, look at that, look at that. I didn't hear a darn thing, so it must have come really quickly. But of course, all the people are saying, oh my God, that happened in the newspapers, are showing the photograph with a little black tape over her boobie, because it is a family newspaper. Was it real? Was it Memorex? Was it staged? Was it an accident? I don't know. First reports I was reading was that it was just one of those things. It accidentally happened. He grabbed the dress. Maybe something else was supposed to happen, or only part of it was supposed to come down. But then I also read later on that she had one of these weird kind of spangly thimble things on her nipple, which would make me think that she was prepared for a little Kim-like event, which is kind of what happened. And then, of course, CBS apologized for it, which is the height of hypocrisy, because they put her up here in clothes that are next to naked. Certainly, I mean, you know, I don't think anybody will forget what Britney Spears looked like a couple of years ago. Like, why couldn't Justin Timberlake have done that to her? Now, that I would have liked to have seen, you know what I'm saying? And it's even more hypocrisy from, like, Time Warner AOL, because you log on to AOL today, and it gives you the five, like, most popular, most watched moments from last night on TV. They have like 1 or 2 minute film clips. And they've got the kicker redeeming himself because he missed, you know, the first two kicks and then he won it in the last couple of seconds of the game. So they show that, and they show Beyonce doing the Star Spangled Banner. Now, what was the most interesting, most talked about, most watched moment, or at least in retrospect, what people thought they watched last night? Well, yeah, it was Janet's little boobie, and that's the one thing they don't show. I mean, I can understand if they showed it with, you know, that nipple tape over her, the electronic one that they can use. But nothing, no mention of that in those clips. So somebody's being a little bit, freaky with that. I'll tell you one thing about the Janet Jackson incident. At least now we're absolutely 100% sure she's not Michael, which is helpful. Anyway, the one thing besides all that is that it did turn into a game. It's one of those things that I always like to say, you never know. You know, if you were watching the first quarter, you would have figured the game would have wound up 7-0 or 3-0 or 13-2 with a safety. But it ended up 32-29 with all this scoring. That's just one of those things. That's why it's a game, and that's why life is what it is as well. So anyway, hope you like the game. Hope you're liking this show. And we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on AM 1240 WGBB Freeport and AM 1240 WGBB.com on this post-Super Bowl Monday, February 2nd. Time for the News Gone By, a look at world and local events of the past week from a kicked-off perspective. In political news, former President Bill Clinton is still busy working on his memoirs. Knopf Publishing paid him more than $10 million in advance for the book about his life in the White House. Apparently, he still doesn't even have a title. Hearing this, the Daily News asked readers for suggestions. Now, this is true. More than 3,000 readers wrote in to suggest titles for Bill Clinton's book. Among the entries, and I quote, "From Hope to Grope, Tuesdays with Monica, Waiting to Inhale, and the absolutely brilliant Crouching Intern, Hidden Cigar." I would also add myself, Playboy of the Western Wing. Well, no one has yet asked George Bush to write his memoirs, possibly because they're not sure if he has enough crayons. No, but if he does, might I suggest Grave New World, The Comedy of Terrors, and Oil Wells That End Well. In entertainment news, the UPN television network has ordered a new reality series called Amish in the City. Now, this is the absolute truth. It was also reported in the Daily News. Amish in the City will feature 5 Amish teenagers moving in with 5 non-Amish strangers their age in a big house in a major urban city. Now, they can do this because the teens are in that stage of life where they go through what's called rumpringa, more like rompringa, actually, because the literal translation from the Dutch means running wild. It's a rite of passage young folks in that community are encouraged to go through. They get to see the outside world, and then they can make an informed choice whether they want to go into the mainstream or retreat back into the shelter of Amish life. Now, the series did get off to a rocky start, however, when the cameras UPN was using sucked the souls out of all the cast members. Said one of the town elders, "We warned you." In music news, well, poor James Brown, the godfather of soul, the hardest working man in show business, the funky president, he just can't seem to stay out of trouble with the law. Allegedly, the 70-year-old performer pushed his 33-year-old wife to the floor during an argument. She was taken to the hospital with scratches and bruises on her arm and hip. Brown denies the allegations. If he's convicted, he could do 30 days in jail. Lucky for him, that won't affect the state pardon he got for his 2 drug offenses. Remember, he did 2.5 years in the pokey back in 1988. I guess the obvious joke here is that Brown's new single is "I Don't Feel Good." No, but amazingly enough, we do have some evidence and material from the South Carolina precinct where Brown was booked last Thursday. Now, you can see his picture, by the way, on my website, hometown.aol.com/Dave's Gone By. He looks like he just spent 10 years in a psych ward and another 5 years in the Amazon. The real question is, what's he doing with Whitney Houston's hair? No, but seriously, the other piece of evidence we have is from Brown's home, where he keeps dozens of tape recorders around just in case inspiration hits. Well, just so happens, he had one going and recording during the incident in question, so we can hear for ourselves whether Brown was abusive, or just angry, or if the whole thing is just a misunderstanding. So here, recorded at their Beach Island home, are James and his wife, Tommy Rae Brown. Let's see if we can hear anything really improper or violent. Can we just roll that? Okay, thanks. Good, here we go. Here we go.
Come on! Dig up both the floor! Dig up, dig up, dig up, dig up so I can hit you again! Little bitch! I'm gonna kick your ass! And your mama's ass too! Gonna kick your ass so hard! Your neighbor's gonna feel it! Gonna scratch your eyes out! Gonna scratch your face off! Gonna scratch ya, scratch ya, scratch ya! Like a Lego card! Giga! I feel like being a punching machine, giga! I get the blues, you get a bruise! Make me wanna dance! See you in an ambulance! Yeah! Giga! Giga!
Alright, 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 enough of that. Well, if James Brown is the Jake LaMotta of soul music, Michael Jackson is certainly turning into the Oscar Wilde of pop. New allegations this week, they say Jackson sneaked alcoholic beverages to his teenage fans, including the 13-year-old cancer patient at the center of his current firestorm. Jackson's former business manager told Vanity Fair the singer would often carry around soda cans filled with red or white wine. He referred to these drinks, no joke, he'd refer to white wine as Jesus juice and red wine as Jesus' blood. I wonder what that makes Bailey's Irish Cream. No, but according to this manager, who may or may not be disgruntled, you know how these things go. In fact, for all we know, he could be gruntled or misgruntled. But anyway, this manager said all the young kids around Jackson knew about Jesus juice, with Michael telling one of them, quote, "Jesus drank it, so it must be good." Spokesman for Pepsi and RC Cola wouldn't comment, although Coca-Cola jumped on the chance to be aligned with both the King of Pop and the King of Kings. They're coming out with a new brand called Crucicola, with a Star of Bethlehem on the label. And the best part is, kids, if you make someone laugh really hard while they're drinking it, bubbles will come out of their hands. Oh, and what is it with celebrities this week? Robin Givens, actress and former wife of boxer Mike Tyson, had a knockout of her own last Wednesday. While driving through a busy Miami intersection in her Mercedes SUV, she struck an 89-year-old pedestrian, severing her leg and leaving her in critical condition. The charges against Givens are unlikely, since she had been obeying the traffic laws and she just didn't notice the old woman still crossing the street very slowly as the light changed. The actress, quite upset, cooperated fully with police, and she said that what most shocked and disturbed her was that in the 100 feet between the intersection and the victim, her SUV got only 8 miles to the gallon. In more celebrity news, well, Halle Berry may not be the highest paid actress in Hollywood, but I'll bet she's the most expensive to insure. Last year, while shooting the movie Gothica, she broke her arm. Then she injured her eye while on the set of the James Bond flick Die Another Day. Now, last week, during the filming of Catwoman, she collided with a boom microphone. She spent the rest of the afternoon in a hospital, but she's fine. And she was a real trooper. She went back to work the next day. In fact, here is some audio footage of Ms. Berry on a break, getting a donut at the craft service table. Oh, that's just wrong. Just so wrong. You know, I love using other people's comedy to make my own comedy. It's like all of the fun for half the work. Anyway, another celebrity accident in the news. Jeopardy host Alex Trebek apparently fell asleep at the wheel of his pickup truck. He was on a country road in Templeton, California, when he sideswiped a string of mailboxes and sailed over an embankment into a ditch. He was mostly uninjured, although when doctors checked his reflexes, they only responded in the form of a question. If you saw the Broadway show Avenue Q, you know that Schadenfreude is when you secretly wish bad things would happen to other people. Well, Schadenfreude moments don't get much better than this one. Carl Atwood of Elwood, Indiana, won $57,000 on a TV lottery game show, and he also won the right to compete against three other players for a grand prize of $1 million. Lucky Carl. Except, the same day he won the money, he was hit by a truck. Thankfully, not one driven by a celebrity, but no, a couple of hours later he was dead, and the ironic part is that emergency crews then spent hours using quarters, dimes, and nickels to scratch Atwood's guts off the pavement. Oh, and speaking of moolah, the Central Bank of Vietnam may have miscalculated with its new release of coins. Children are mistaking them for candy. Since the currency came out in December, 17 children have been treated for swallowing them. Asked how they're doing, one doctor said, "Well, they seem okay, but we keep examining their bowel movements and we see no change." Yes! Yes! Yes, that ringing sound is the comedy bell, the bell that signals that Dave's gone by. Bad pun of the week. Every week we make a play on words so cheap, so dime a dozen, so neglected, that we deserve to be drawn and quartered. And that's why we ring the comedy bell. And to remind you that Dave's Gone By is the place to advertise your event, product, or service. Everybody likes a good joke, a hearty laugh. And even a lousy joke is generally appreciated, which is my saving grace, I guess. But comedy puts people in a good mood. It makes them more jovial, more convivial, more apt to listen closely and spend a little money to get something they want or need. That's where you come in with your advertisement or your sponsorship. Pick a segment of the show and tie your brand identity to it. Not too tight. You don't want to leave red marks. But when I say it's time for the World Weird Web, I could just as easily say, it's time for the World Weird Web, brought to you by Rocco's Bait Shop. We warm your worm. Or, instead of saying, I want to thank my special guest for appearing on Dave's Gone By tonight, I could be saying, I want to thank my special guest for appearing on Dave's Gone By tonight. This interview segment was brought to you by Orlek Jewelers on Rockaway Avenue. Give them a ring, and they'll do the same for you. Advertising on Dave's Gone By is amazingly inexpensive there, cost-effective, and just plain effective. So, hose me down and advertise on Dave's Gone By. Call 516-295-1511 for all the details. 516-295-1511. Or email davesgoneby@aol.com. And don't forget, for added value, we can mention you in our weekly emails to loyal listeners and include your link or banner ad on our website. So you really have no excuse not to trumpet your wares on Dave's Gone By. The price is right. The time is right. The audience is there and waiting. Give them what they want. 516-295-1511 or davesgoneby@aol.com. And judging by the groans and incredulous emails I get, the bad pun of the week doesn't always work, but you can make it work for you. 516-295-1511. Don't be good. Be ponderful. Well, here's a gruesome little story out of Arizona. A lot of car crashes today. A 3-year-old girl ate crackers and huddled with her mother's body for 5 days before rescue workers found her inside a car that ran off the highway. Young Angel Emery was airlifted to a hospital and treated for dehydration and frostbite. Her mom died in the crash, but the amazing thing is how this small child could survive for 5 days on just crackers. Asked why she didn't simply get out of the car and look for help, the girl said she didn't want to leave her dead mommy, who was not only her whole life and her closest companion, but also a delicious source of protein. Finishing up the news gone by on a serious note, I do want to acknowledge two people in the business who were somewhat before my time, or at least didn't quite register directly on my viewing and listening habits, but they were valuable nonetheless. First of all, Harry Fleetwood, for 30 years a radio commentator on classical music for New York Radio. In 1954, he beat out 1,500 other candidates to host a new show on WNBC called Music Through the Night. That lasted till 1975, when he jumped to WNCN. Remember WNCN? That was such a nice station to listen to. Anyway, he hosted a similar program there until the late 1980s. Fleetwood was 6'7" and spoke perfect French, and apparently had an incredibly cultured and mellifluous voice. According to the New York Times obituary, for all the suave mellowness he would project, he'd also sweep into the radio station 5 minutes before airtime, bringing with him a whole retinue of friends coming from the opera, which I guess was the neat thing about him. In many ways, he was the ideal classical radio DJ, suave, perfect voice, sophisticated, but at the same time, colorful and whimsical and idiosyncratic. The same words could apply to Jack Parr, former host of The Tonight Show, who died last Tuesday at 85 years old. Now, anybody who does what I am doing, any kind of variety or talk show or interview format, owes a debt to Jack Parr. From the clips I've seen over the years, Parr was intelligent, clever, enthusiastic, neurotic, and fairly genuine. Considering the nature of what he was doing, interviewing four or five different people a night, all of them pushing different projects or concerts or movies, all of them with their own agendas. But he did it. In fact, he invented the sofa and desk combination that every major talk host on TV right now still uses, from Ellen to Conan. He also had a catchphrase. We talked about those at the top of the show. If he was joking about a strange but true event, he'd say, "I kid you not." He also fought against pointless censorship. That's the famous story of him, walking away from the show for a month because the network cut him off while telling a joke about a water closet. He got PO'd and just walked away. Well, my God, if WGBB cut me off every time I told a toilet joke, the show would be 4 minutes long. But would I have the guts to fight it? Or would I be more likely to cave in and cling to my precious airtime? I don't know. But hooray for Jack Parr for taking his stand. He wasn't afraid of controversy or silliness or just being eccentric and unique. Television's going to miss him, I kid you not. And that's the news gone by for February 2nd, 2004. Please send your comments, opinions, and frozen mommies to Dave's Gone By, P.O. Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. Dave's Gone By, Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. We reserve the right to read your letters on the air, name and IQ, withheld upon request. You can also email davesgoneby@aol.com. Send me fan mail, send me hate mail, but please, no Jesus juice, unless it's freshly squeezed, because with the other kind, I just can't concentrate. Back after this.
Winterloo, winterloo, oh darling, winterloo by the road tonight. Tonight there will be no quarreling, everything is gonna be alright. Oh, I see by the angel beside me that love has a reason to shine. You're the one I adore, come over here and give me more than when I loot this dude thinks you'll find. Oh, interlude, winterlude, my little apple, winterlude by the corn in the field, winterlude, let's go down to the chapel, then come back and cook up a meal. We'll come out when the skating rink glistens by the sun and the old crossroads sign. The snow is so cold, but our love can be bold. Winterlude, this dude thinks you'll find. Winterlude, winterlude, my little daisy. Winterlude by the telephone wire. Winterlude, it's making me lazy. Come on, sit by the logs and the fire. The moonlight reflects from the window, where the snowflakes, they cover the sand. Come on, tonight, everything will be tight. Winterlude, this dude thinks you're grand.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on AM 1240 WGBB Freeport and AM 1240 WGBB.com on this comparatively mild February 2nd, 2004. I say comparatively because, as you well know, it seems we've been in the teens and 20s since the 1920s. I think 2 days ago was the first day since the New Year that the temperature went over the freezing mark. May have even made it to a whopping 33. Perhaps I'm exaggerating, but it sure felt like the whole past month. If it wasn't snowing, it was 10 degrees. If it wasn't 10 degrees, it was still cold enough to ice up all the water on the roads and sidewalks. What a bitch of a winter this is turning out to be. We may have had more snow last year, but at least then, every few days, you'd get a thaw, and the melted water wouldn't automatically freeze again overnight. People could walk and drive without risking a broken ankle. This year, 2 weeks after a big snowstorm, and there's still patches of ice all over the place. It's nobody's fault. I saw some idiot reporter on TV the day after the big storm, not the most recent one, the one before that, and she was scolding shop owners for not shoveling. She wondered aloud how long it would take the city to fine them $100 for negligence. And ordinarily, I'd agree with her. It's crucial that walkways and pedestrian areas and even parking lots be properly cleared. I live in a neighborhood with a huge senior population, so for their sake alone, snow and ice have to be removed from pathways. But after this particular storm, there was nothing to shovel. Once that snow froze over, it was like a layer of ice that was crazy glued to the sidewalk, and it was so cold. Even throwing rock salt on it only helped a certain amount. This was just a freaky weather thing. And it's been like that since December. So all you can do is sigh, shrug, keep your shovel handy and your closet stocked with hot cocoa, and just keep in mind that July really will be here before you know it. And until then, we all get through it with the knowledge that we all have to get through it. Your neighbor, and his neighbor, and her neighbor all have the same problems getting around, the same grumbles trying to start the car in the morning, the same mild depression when the sun goes down at 4:40 in the afternoon. Everybody, from Donald Trump to the homeless in the subways, one way or another, everybody has to cope with the same heavy weather. And now and then, winter can even be inspiring, bracing, metaphorical, and musical.
Stepping very carefully. my heart is broken. It's worn out and in need of hearing, muffled, seeing, blind. Soon it will hit the deep freeze. Branches in the air, the sun is blinding, dizzy, golden, dancing green, through the park in the afternoon, wondering where the hell I have been.
See you again. Soon we were laughing and talking. the heartache. And sometimes I'm a fighter when I get too much whiskey. Here, have a little whiskey. Pretend you don't give a damn. My cabin's up here on the side of the mountain. You can go up there and sleep through the blizzard. I put on my parka, said goodbye to the owner, followed the stranger through the snow up the mountain.
What an amazing song that is. Judy Collins, The Blizzard, so much is conveyed in that 7.5 minutes that is both sad and touching and also sexy and beautiful. It's oblique and yet very clear as to what's going on and what's changing in her. Love that song. And just one of the winter songs we'll be playing in this segment. Before that, we heard another song of heartbreak, Cracking, from Suzanne Vega's first album. We have so much more music for you for the rest of this episode of Dave's Gone By on AM 1240 WGBB Freeport and AM 1240 WGBB.com. Cold enough for you? Certainly is for the Clancy Brothers.
Frosty weather, snowy weather, when the wind blows, we all go together.
Frosty weather, snowy weather, when the wind blows, we all go together.
Sugar Daddy. kind of protocol. There's no solitary tap dance around here.
Cloudy borderline. dozen borderlines. Chosen one is just mine. Close to the frozen borderline. Close to the frozen borderline. Close to the frozen borderline.
With their own winter song, Cold Winter, just about capping off this segment of wintry, cold, snowy, and miserable weather songs. Before the Stones, we heard Nico from the Marvel Index Collection, Frozen Warnings, and the unmistakable, a lot of unmistakable voices in this segment too. You had the Germanic drone of Nico, and before that, the growl of Tom Waits with Blow, Wind, Blow, and just a little piece of the Clancy Brothers with Frosty Weather, Snowy Weather. Well, maybe if today's any indication, our weather's going to get a little bit better. I'm sure we'll have the occasional snow and sleet and hail and awfulness to come, but maybe a little sunshine too, but gotta end this segment, though, with one more big blast. Welcome back to Dave's Gone By, finishing up the show for this week. Hope you enjoyed our 90-minute walk through the winter wonderland in music, celebrity car crashes, and football. My thanks to Aunt and Uncle Bonnie and Les for a fun Super Bowl party, as always. As always, thank you to my beloved wife, Joyce, for all her love and support just a week away from Valentine's Day. My thanks, as always, going out to the people who make this show happen. Special thanks once again to Kerry Smith at Town Hall, and congratulations to the lucky ticket winners. Everybody else, go see A Tribute to Tap Legends Friday, February 6th, 8 p.m. at Town Hall on West 43rd Street. Young, talented tap dancers recreating the styles of old legendary tap masters. That's February 6th at Town Hall, 212-840-2824 is the box office number, 212-840-2824. Want to also give another plug to our friends October Project. That magical, wonderful band who appeared on this program back in October, appropriately enough. They're giving two concerts next week, February 13th and Valentine's Day, February 14th. These are private concerts in a loft, so it's very laid-back, very intimate concert. It will be semi-acoustic, but the whole band will be there. The three core members, Emil, Julie, and Marina, who are on this show, plus the backup musicians. Also, Terrence Mann, the Broadway star from Cats and Les Mis, he's going to do a couple of numbers. There's a magician opening the show. It should be a fabulous time. I'm going to one of the shows. You should, too. Tickets are very limited, especially for the Valentine's Day show, but I think they're still available. Check the October Project website, www.octoberproject.net. That's the only way you can buy tickets, by the way, going to the website, and you can pay there by credit card or PayPal, octoberproject.net. And speaking of websites, keep checking mine for information about this show. Pictures, upcoming events, ways to buy stuff like my book or cassettes of past episodes or CDs. Finally, Dave's Gone By has joined the modern era, and we have classic archived episodes on compact disc. They sound great. They're basically the entire show. We have to do a little cutting because the program is an hour and a half, and CDs only hold about 79 minutes. But mostly we're just cutting commercials and maybe one song, so you're not missing any major content. CDs are $14, shipping included, and for an extra buck, I'll even personally autograph them for you. So far, we have every show from 2004 on disc. We're slowly making our way backwards, and we'll be putting more and more out there each month. So again, just check my website, hometown.aol.com/Dave's Gone By, hometown.aol.com/Dave's Gone By, for all the information. And here are some other things to check out at this radio station. Long Island's Dating with Bonnie D. Graham, every Friday night at 6. Comic Book Novice, all about your favorite superheroes and graphic artists, Thursday nights at 9. And of course, Engineer Joe. Don't miss his many programs on WGBB, including Your World with Joe Salzone, Sunday 6 o'clock at night, and 6 o'clock Monday nights. He's on for half an hour before my show. You can also hear him Sunday and Monday nights at 11. And catch Your World on TV, Long Island Cable Vision, Channel 20, every Sunday afternoon at 1. I was a guest on there a couple of weeks ago. I spent the full hour with Joe, and they've repeated that episode 3 times. I'm thrilled. So keep tuning in. You'll never know when you might see old Dave once again. Sunday afternoons, 1 p.m., LI Cable, Channel 20. I also want to remind you to visit the Tandoor Grill, 222 Sunrise Highway in Rockville Center. See their menu at tandoorgrill.com. Remember, it's not tandoori, it's tandoor. Leave off the last I for hose me down! Oh yeah, that's working for me. But I'm open to other suggestions for opening this program. Remember, you can win a CD, so send your catchphrase ideas to davesgoneby@aol.com. Or write to me for any reason. Tell me what you think of the show. Tell me what you don't think of the show. Tell me what you show of the think. Dave's Gone By@AOL.com. And then make sure to tune in next week, February 9th, for another fabulous episode of Dave's Gone By, our 64th. How do I do it? Why do I do it? When do I do it? Well, I can answer that one. Monday nights, 6:30 p.m. on the radio and on the internet at AM 1240 WGBB and AM 1240WGBB.com. So until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz. Good night, great game, and gone by!
I will go a merry way and jump the hedges first. Drink the clear, clean water for to quench my thirst. And I will watch the ferry boats and they'll get high. Against the blue ocean, against the tomorrow sky. And I will walk and talk in gardens all wet with spring. I never, ever, never, ever get so old again. Sweet things.